Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
And that's Stewart, who takes the mark forward of the wing and plays on. He's going to kick it up inside the 50, where it's down! Another screamer from Joe! And plays on, snaps, and he has, wait on it, kicked it!
Oh yes, another magnificent high mark by Joe Danaher. The Bombers were flying on the weekend. Welcome everyone to the Super Footy Podcast once again. Round 17 done and dusted. You heard the call there. On SEN, I'm Anthony Hudson. Mickey Warner and Sam Landsberger back for another week, boys.
Retain my spot on the side, just.
Yes. It was a busy, night at selection. But
I don't think your line went down all that well, actually, about whatever you said last week. But that mark was nowhere near as good as Jeremy Howe's, by the way. Nowhere near as good.
I wasn't far away.
It was a long way away. It was about 10 metres lower.
Bridesmaid twice in a row for Joey. Majak pinched him last year. He might finish second again.
Yes.
Well, it was a massive weekend of footy and plenty to talk about on the field, but obviously it was all a bit overshadowed by what happened on Friday, Mick, wasn't it?
Well, they've had a horrendous couple of weeks, the AFL, off the back of the Ali Fahua thing and then that astonishing, really, that press conference at 12:30 on Friday announcing the departure of certainly one of the most important people down there in Simon Lethlean. Didn't know much about Simkus, but Richard Simkus, but obviously high up in commercial and not far off crisis, you would have to say, for the AFL, with Gillen flying out to the cycling to catch up with Sammy Edmund and Ray Gunston stepping in as the acting CEO. Tough times for the league.
Well, they've lost three key people inside 2 weeks, halfway through a season. How do you reshuffle and...
Well, I think the key one, though, is...
Two, really. Ali, was he an executive?
Not
I don't
the
think
senior,
he was. No.
Senior level. So, yeah. Look, I think commercial will survive. It's more the football piece, as people seem to use that word.
Football
these days.
Piece.
Well, Ross was talking Ross about Lyon-ism. Ross was talking about the connection piece in his post. And I've just come from Perth, so that's on my head. But
what's the connection piece?
Oh, between I think it's
the Tom Lynch role.
Well, just the role.
The link band.
The ball from outside 50 to inside 50, which was a bit of a problem for the Dockers yesterday. But we were having a bit of a chat before we came on air, Sammy, about how soon the AFL needs to act on this. And it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Look, I got told that it would be unlikely they would replace Simon Lethlean during the season because that candidate will most likely come from clubland. And it would be too unfair to pinch a key club executive in the midst of a season.
Mm.
But there's a school of thought the other way as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure the clubs... I mean, the clubs do a lot of their work in the off-season and the actual... For a CEO, I mean, it depends who it is.
Well, yes, if it's Benny Gale, for example, and you're trying to sign Dustin Martin, that's not ideal.
Or if you go about 12 months and the Dogs, I think, sacked their CEO and David Stevenson about this time. Gary Kent came in from the board and, well, it unravelled pretty well. It went pretty well from there. They won the premiership. So there is precedent.
But there'll be a time factor here anyway, won't there, in terms of actually going through the process?
Yeah, with Gillen away.
Yeah. Look, there's plenty of good people in an AFL headquarters who can...
Yeah, Andrew Dillon's pretty much running every department
isn't he? He is, yeah. I agree with that. But I do think there'll be some urgency. But obviously
there's a standout candidate for me.
And who is it?
Ian Prendergast.
PA man.
He was at the PA. He's now running the NRL Players Association. He's played the game, played for Carlton, played about 30 games, including that Wizard Cup premiership. And
does that strengthen your CV?
Well, I think it was the one where Nick Stevens missed it for his brother's
wedding.
Wedding.
We miss those great stories around pre-season premiership cups, don't we?
But like he knows that...
Tomo holding the Wizard Cup alive.
Not letting them celebrate.
Not letting him smile.
Is that Lenny Hayes?
Dennis Pagan, the Blues were red hot after they won that one, weren't they? They were going to do all sorts of things.
But he to me would be perfect.
Has he done? He hasn't worked at Clubland, has he? I'm not saying you have to have, but
yeah, I think he knows a lot of those issues. You know, with player the issues around players, illicit drugs policy, for example, things like that.
What is the essence of the role? Do you think?
Who knows? Is it MRP?
Well, I think it is on field footy matters. That's what I'd be looking for in the person.
And a bit of process. And
that was the knock on Adrian Anderson, wasn't it? Did he have the grasp of the actual what happens on the white line?
Yeah, well, he was very
according to coaches, but I thought he did a pretty good job.
Well, there was a lot of what he did that was pretty good. I mean, he was a very legalist, and it seems like, I mean,
well, Prenn is a lawyer as well.
Was he a lawyer? He's a lawyer. Someone like Benny Gale is a lawyer. I mean, do they look down that path? Do you think it would be a step up for Benny Gale
if it's right that Lethlam was on 900? It is 900,000. That's more than Patrick Dangerfield got last year.
Do you think that, like, if Brendan wants to be the CEO of the AFL, that's an EV.
Yeah.
He actually does. Is that a, is
what's
that
the way the Dimitri path,
it was the way
did
Dimitri
it.
Got there, yeah.
I think so.
The pathway.
Whereas Mark Evans has gone the other way. He's gone from that role to be a CEO at a club.
Well, I heard you guys float his name and made a few calls, and that I think people would be surprised if he did do it.
I'd be surprised. Yeah, I'd be surprised.
Mate Baines gets spoken of highly, star rising at St Kilda. He was reportedly in the mix for the Hawthorn CEO role. I think he pulled out in the end. That went to Tracy Gaudry. But he's a name which does get spoken about every time a job
Nathan
does
Buckley.
Come up.
Steve Hocking.
Steve Hocking would be ideal.
Yeah, I think Geelong are pretty confident that he won't take the job. But, you know, 900, as you said, that could change a few
things. Where do you apply? Anyway, tumultuous time. The one thing I'm going to say about this is I hope that the AFL use the experience of the last 3 weeks just to have a look internally at themselves and the way that they conduct themselves. There's an arrogance about the AFL. I've told you that for a long time, Hutter. You probably don't agree. But I just hope that there's some reflection, not talking specifically about those two guys who've lost their jobs, but just the way that they go about themselves.
All right, let's...
I didn't think you'd weigh in, Hutto.
No, I'm just happy for you. You have your son. That's fine.
Yes, thank you.
Are you ready to go on for now?
Yep.
You sure?
To the footy.
To the footy. And Patrick Dangerfield, Mick.
Wow. Bit Kane Corns. He's the hitman in the media, but he says what he thinks.
I liked it.
And
I like
a few
him.
People have backed him up, but... certainly not Paddy Dangerfield and his teammates.
Well, the one stat for me was, so Kane Corns has obviously said that Paddy exaggerates his injuries. He said the Adelaide players raised it with him during his time as a Crow. Patrick Dangerfield, after the 5-minute mark of the second quarter on Saturday, did not come to the bench.
Tom Scully style.
That's extraordinary.
It's because he was sitting in the goal square.
Didn't see the game. How deep did he just not move?
He
didn't move.
I only saw it on TV.
He didn't push up at all.
You can't see the whole perspective, but... He came up a little bit.
Did he leave the 50?
There was that bone-crunching bump with Luke Hodge in the dying minutes at probably half-back. That was the only time he probably, you know, penetrated the centre of the ground. I think his performance on Saturday was remarkable. He was clearly in a heap of discomfort. After the game, he did his interviews, slumped against the wall. He couldn't stand up.
It was Zach Tui
clowning around.
Someone from the Sunday.
He was sitting there with about 8 journos around him, sitting against the wall with his foot dangling in a bucket of ice with his socks still on. And then he got up. He couldn't walk. He was in a moon boot this morning. I don't think he'll play Friday night.
Neither do I.
I think he's nearly no chance.
I think he's a certainty to play.
Well, one of us is going to be wrong, Mick.
Deep inside 50 and 5 goals, 6.
I know someone did say this on the weekend, but it reminded me of the great days of watching Gazza Senior play. Down deep. And look, all those key forwards. But Lockett and those guys were bigger key forwards than Ablett. And he's probably more similar in size and stature to Paddy. And, that's what the game
why
needs.
Why can't we do it?
Well, because stupid coaches have changed the way it's played.
It worked.
But if you listen to Clarko, he disrupted their entire system.
Let's have a listen to Clarko, because I'm absolutely staggered if he genuinely meant this is what Clarko said about it post-game.
Never usually play that way. No side does. So it was an unusual set of circumstances that gave him opportunity. He had 11 shots at goal. It was extraordinary how many times he was able to touch the ball. But in the third quarter, nearly every scoring chance that they had came through his hand. So then he gets first touch on the ball, crucial first goal of the last quarter. So He played very well for them, but it was quite a unique set of circumstances of how that all unfolded.
So what a tactic, playing someone at full forward.
Who would have thought KB would be doing cartwheels?
I think what the main problem for Hawthorn was, they actually didn't have anyone to play on it. They actually didn't have a fullback in their team, which again goes to how good they've been in covering up all the players that have been out injured.
The highlight for me was when Luke Hodge got rolled back onto him. The next century, Dangerfield led him up, took a beautiful overhead mark, and Hodge infringed on him. I think Ray said, Hodge, you can't chop the arm.
Good exchange.
You got to jump. And Hodge said, you see how high he jumped?
Yeah, that was funny, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Talking about Beko and Rewind, which we'll do a little later, but Isaac Smith playing on, right call, wrong call?
I'll back him in. He's played 150 games. Hopefully he knew how long to go and the siren wasn't going to sound.
Well, that to me was the thing. Like, what if the siren had gone while he was playing on?
Similar incident. I think last year Hawthorn played Essendon and Luke Bruce snapped a goal and the siren went while the ball was on his way to his boot, so it didn't count. I'll back Isaac Smith in there. I think he's a better kick on the run than a set short. He just didn't get it done in that instance.
And what about the flogs on social media getting in? He's won 3 flags for the club. They're like, I mean, what sort of Hawthorn supporter would be thinking, you've been that spoiled? Get off Twitter.
Yeah, that's unbelievable that they would...
What did you think, Otto? You think he should have gone back? Or?
I'm not being super critical. I'm just saying if you had your time again, I would think you would go back and have the shot. He obviously probably didn't want to because he was going to relive what didn't work out that well for him last year.
Sitting there live, we were surprised when he wheeled around. When he marked, we thought, here we go, kick half of the sign. Yeah. It was shock with the second he played on.
I thought it must have been touched. I was watching, it was actually very funny. We were, the old plane tales from last year, we were watching, we were in a car, driving to the out to Spotless. It was me, Roosie, Derm.
What a name dropper this bloke is.
And I've forgotten one.
Bill Gates.
Hudson.
Who else was in the car with us?
David Beckham.
I should remember, shouldn't I? But we were going out to that game and we got to the tunnel. Tunnel and there was a minute 20 to go and it dropped out. We lost about 50 seconds anyway, but we just got the picture back in time for... Isaac Smith, mate. I thought it must have been touched, but there you go. It wasn't anything. What does it mean in terms of Geelong and Hawthorn? Anything?
Oh, absolutely. I think Chris Scott spoke really well afterwards. He said, great game of footy, high standard, and it's just a credit to both clubs that in periods of transition, with so many young players, they can still put on such a show. I think there are only 5 players from the 08 grand final, which is where this rivalry was born, that played on Saturday. They were Hodge, Roughhead, Selwood, Taylor and Lonergan. So
it's
39 awesome. Fresh faces, and it was still a top quality game.
Probably don't think Clarko agreed that it was a top quality game. He said it was an ordinary game.
It was fascinating.
But it was a fascinating game, wasn't it? It really was.
Does it mean the Hawks can't make it?
I think it does.
It makes it tricky, but Chris Scott again said afterwards, again, him and Clarko had differing views on the game. He said, geez, you wouldn't want to play him in the run home.
No, I agree with that.
I think the interesting one for Hawthorn is if they had beaten the Cats and they were a red hot chance to sneak into the finals, I think they might have pushed the button a bit earlier on Birchall and Cyril.
Yeah.
Now that that's unlikely, I think they might be cotton wood for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and look, if they were sneaking into eighth, I don't think they'd be a good enough team to go all the way, so they're probably better to develop the kids.
Well, I disagree with that. I think even if you can play one final, the development that does for Brand, Howe, Sicily, Burton.
I do agree with that. But if you don't want to, I don't think you want to risk
long term
Rioli and all those guys coming.
I know we're going to talk about the fixture later. But have a look at this round. We've got 1v2, 3v5, and 4 versus 7th this round. This is moving round. This is like Saturday at the Masters.
Yeah.
Adelaide, Geelong, Giants, Richmond, Port, Melbourne.
I'm getting dizzy trying to work out what is going on with this season. I'm struggling.
What is going on?
Oh, I don't know. I think we are overreacting every week now. Like,
absolutely. St.
Kilda, hysteria.
Real or overreaction.
Eddie.
St. Kilda, 4 weeks in a row, and they're doing this, they're doing that. They have one loss. Admittedly, they were awful, but now they're no good, and they're this, and they're that, and Rowe has to retire, and all that sort of stuff.
They'll go up to Sydney, roll the Swans at the SCG, and we'll be back to last week. It is just a crazy, crazy year.
All right. Time for Is It Just Me? And you're going first, Sam.
Yeah, is it just me, or is Richmond going to pay absolute top dollar for Patrick Naish? So they've got their first father-son, I think, since Tommy Roach about 15 years ago this year. My mail is that there are clubs in the lower regions of the ladder which really, really like Naish, love his ball use, and he gives the draft something which it doesn't really have, a bit of skill and speed.
Who's he liking to?
Oh, it's a fraught with danger going with comparisons this early. I'll give you one comparison. The number one pick, Cameron Rayner, he's been compared to Dusty. He's got one recruit to me. He's got the Dusty blueprint. But I think Naish is... the Tigers had the two first-round picks. They've got their own and Geelong's via the Deledio trade. I think it's a good thing they've got two, because not only will Naish cost them one, I think he might bump back their second first-round pick, because they're going to have to pay a really high price.
That's ridiculous. Surely you only have to give up your first-round pick for a father-son.
So just say
they're... Who's putting these rules together?
Just say their first-rounders are 13 and 17. Mm-hmm. They'll cough up 13 and 17 might have to slide back to 19 or 20. That's a complete guess, but I think a bid will come probably in the top 10 for sure.
I think it's more likely to be 17 and 18.
Richmond Geelong Grand Final.
I like the sound of that, Mick. That'll be a good podcast. Right. My Is It Just Me is, related to Nat Fyfe. Now, you've got the details of the deal, Mick?
Yeah, we've got an exclusive. He signed a six-year deal. No one else has got this.
I think was it on Breakfast?
$1.3 million a year.
No, he signed at St Kilda. I heard it on Perth Radio a couple of months ago.
Well, we all sort of fell into that trap there for a while. But great news for the Dockers. And probably fair to say that the other clubs went a bit cold on him. Is that?
Yeah, but I think, did they go cold because they sensed he was going to stay? That's probably the more.
Tell you what, his form's back.
Well, it is back, yeah. And I think you're right in terms of he was going to stay. That was the message that they... And Freo was super confident all the way through that he would stay. So
1.3 is a lot.
It's a lot, yeah. But his form is back. And his form 2 years ago was sublime. And I think, though, Moses just says you have to play full forward because their forward line, and I know they...
Ooh.
They kick badly, and their connecting piece wasn't very good. But
connecting piece.
Their midfield is okay without him. It's not as good as it is with him, but they just don't. I mean, Kirsten's battling away, and obviously McCarthy hasn't played the last few weeks because of suspension, but even he is not really that key forward type. And Danger showed on the weekend, and Fyfe's as good a mark as what Dangerfield is, or close to. So I think he could be that predominant full forward.
So what do they need to add to the list? I mean, come October, do you think they need to really target?
If they could, but I mean, where do you find a full forward?
Well, if Chris Mayne's looking for one.
Chris Mayne. Yes. Chris Mayne, eh?
Is it just me?
Oh, sorry, before we go any further, while we're talking about Freo, I just wanted to play the weekly instalment of Ross the Boss. Now, he's talking here about Harley Bennell, who played in the Waffle on the weekend and got through, and this is what he had to say about it.
Well, look, it was emotional, wasn't it? I sort of left him alone, and it's been a big 18 months for him, and it was a step in the right direction. There's plenty of work to go yet, but, I was really nervous watching it because I thought, if that calf was to go again, I would have to pick up the pieces. So, it was a positive step, and he had a lot of support there from the club, a lot of family, and I think his quality just shone through, didn't it? It was frightening what we saw in patches. So, yeah, he's got a fair bit of work to do, but it's been a tough road, and he's working his way through with great character and great resilience. And I can tell you, I would have crumbled. I would have been out the system by now. I would have flicked the bales. So he's got great mental toughness. He's a better man than me.
So it was good. I mean, it was interesting. First thing he's saying there about the mental battle and how well he is. But I love the term of what he was saying about taking the bales off and
flick
leaving.
Flick the bales.
Yeah. That's he gives us something new every week.
He's a genius.
Yep.
Is it just me, or is Buddy Franklin playing with a hunger or a passion that, as good as he's been through his career, he just looks to me like he's that into it. Like he's part. The Swans have obviously got an amazing 0-6 to 6 on the ladder story going on, but he just looks to me like he's enjoying his footy more than he ever has.
Well, he's played in 2 losing grand finals at the Swans. He's yet to.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yet to lift the cup since he left the Hawks.
Is he sort of had a look over the hill and knows the end of the career is probably you know, closer to the finish
probably
than the start.
Probably only 5 years away.
Probably. But he just looks reinvigorated, and that is a dangerous commodity.
That last quarter goal from 60 on the weekend, yes, unbelievable.
Just his movement. He looks
injury-free.
It was
a strange goal, that one, for him, though. It sort of went...
With his curl, yeah.
It actually went like a normal left-footer's goal. It curled from left to right rather than him going the other way.
Is the nine-year contract a failure if he doesn't win a flag?
No,
Sydney?
I don't think so.
Well,
it's already a success.
I agree with that.
In terms of, you know, bums on seats and doing what Lockett did in Sydney.
It's a success in those terms.
Yeah, in those terms. But
I mean, they lost Mumford.
Yeah. And a few other French players.
And a few others that they couldn't keep.
Who were they? Everett and
Lamb and Everett. That's not. Yeah, that wasn't major
small fry.
Loss. It was more Mumford the loss, yeah. And it may have affected. May have
Tom
affected
Mitchell
Tom
last
Mitchell.
Year.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean,
what a story if they can pull it off.
He was probably their only good player in the 2014 grand final as well when they played the Hawks
and
well.
Last.
So it's not much more.
Rolled his
ankle
in the first minute last year.
Yeah,
battled on
and played pretty well.
Beaten by Joel Hamley.
Well, I want to talk about Bulldogs defenders. In fact, let's just do it now.
Righto. Do it now. But we're going to come
Young.
Back to Sydney.
Lewis Young. Like, I've told you Dalrymple, there should be a statue of the guy at the Witten Oval. He's found another one.
Well, it's funny. This is, I think, my beacon rewind a little bit here as well. We'll leave it for later. But it looked a lot like Jack Lever.
And he did, but a bit cheaper. That's a bit
pick
cheaper.
49. Key position player, drafted probably as a bit of a project player, drafted as a full forward. He's playing by round 17 and looking as composed as you'd like. How good was it? Oh, this polarised a few people, but I loved it. In the last quarter when Levi Casbolt hit the post and point blank, Lewis Young, with no support around, no teammates inside, right in front of the Dogs cheer squad, has run up and absolutely given it to Levi in his fourth quarter of AFL football.
I like it.
Bit
has
of
he been playing well in the VFL, obviously.
Yeah, 25 and 10 marks last week for Footscray. That's what got him the call-up.
Dalrymple, genius.
Genius.
All right, well, we can talk more about the Dogs a little later, perhaps. What about the Sydney Swans, though? Will they go top four, do you think, now? It's 9 out of 10. I mean, will the fact that they've had to do that, will that take something out of them, given the way the season's panned out, or is they just steamroll on?
Well, in moving day at the Masters, they've got St Kilda. So I think if they knock them off at the SCG, top four is theirs for the taking.
I felt like Saturday night was going to be a pivotal game. Like, to be honest, it disappointed me as a game. I thought it was going to be one of the games of the year. But Ruzzi's,
Giants disappointed.
Well, Ruzzi's comments on the Giants, so I thought he was fairly wrong.
No brand. They play without a brand.
He said that they're kicking goals. Sydney are kicking goals on system, and Giants are kicking goals on talent alone.
That is as scathing as it gets for their coach.
I think it was. Yeah. Obviously, they've been impacted by the injuries, and there comes a time though.
Have they been hurt that bad? What did they have missing Saturday night outside of Stephen Cornelia?
Well, Cameron didn't play on Saturday night.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Toledio.
Yeah, well.
Toledio, probably not. I mean, let's be realistic. We're not going to get much out of him this year, if anything.
And Ryan Griffin is still in their plans to come back. Now, whether he can come back, but that player, I think they feel like their midfield actually is missing a big. Now, Cornelio is not a big body midfielder as such, but he does play with a toughness. They were concerned. I think there was concerns going in that the Swans' bigger bodies would be an issue in the game. And so they would love to get a Ryan Griffin back, but whether that happens, I don't know.
I think the Giants' injuries might have just been overstated a touch.
I know what you're saying, in that I did this at one stage, and of their top 10 best and fairest last year, there was really only one or two that didn't play for a whole pair, but they did lose Toby Green for a few weeks then, and they lost Zach Williams to suspension and all that sort of stuff. So, and what it does too is it makes it really hard for your players to be accountable because there's no pressure at selection at all, and obviously it affects training as well. So it has severely disrupted their year. But if they can get their players back together, I still think they'll be very dangerous.
And I think that the no system claims or the Ferrari claims that were made earlier in the year about Leon Cameron, Zach Hutchings will come back to haunt a few people in the post-game premiership press conference given by Leon Cameron.
Wow.
He'll store those away.
He was 14 points up in the fourth quarter of a prelim last year.
Greatest game I ever saw, that prelim. They'll be there. They'll be there.
Okay. All right. Well, that is Sydney and GWS. Winks. What about your boys then? What about Dusty?
I didn't see it the whole game, but from what I hear, it was I don't know why Richmond would play that game at Etihad when two Etihad tenants were playing at the MCG when it was a Richmond home game. Can you explain that?
No.
I think that's one Ian Prendergast will fix when he gets in there. But, you know, if Dusty goes for that, we don't know while we're going to air here.
Yeah,
but,
so we're recording this before we know.
If he's suspended.
He won't.
And
go.
Loses the Brownlow, I'm not sure what I'll do.
Well, that's a pity because Geelong player would win it. Anyway. Let's have a listen
to Damien
Hardwick. And is there an issue here?
Oh, I mean, you probably get belted in the back 35 times for the game, I reckon it'd be fair enough, but I didn't see it. Well, we got a memo from the AFL saying that if you consistently hit someone in the back, it's going to be a free kick. So that's up to the umpires to adjudicate.
So have we got an issue with our star players? I mean, there's nothing new in this, but do the umpires have to be more
vigilant?
Well,
they said they were going to be. Mm. There was a memo. You love memos.
I watched the attention Jason Johannesson received for a few weeks on end, and I think when Mark Hutchings ran through him in the first quarter of the West Coast game, it was the fourth game in a row he'd been targeted, and that free kick he received was his first free kick for the year.
Cowardly
or something
one.
Like that. So it's cowardly one according to one of the coaches. So look, there's no doubt they need
one of the coaches. Better.
They need on, well, Sam. Clearly it wasn't going to be the West Coast coach. They do need more protection. We had four umpires out there during the bye rounds, and they still missed everything. Mm.
Do we have a problem here? And it's what our game throws up. But when little free kicks are paid, everyone goes, "Oh, that's soft." And then when they're not paid, the frustration builds up on the star player.
Mm. Yeah.
So the umpires just need to set the standard, say we're going to just cut down on this.
There's an emergency umpire sitting on the bench. Well, shouldn't he just get involved?
And what happens,
say,
though?
I've been watching it.
What happens is that you then get faking free kicks when they start playing soft ones.
Okay. All this aside, it doesn't justify Dusty whacking blokes. I don't think he'll go. I don't know what he was doing.
I'm not sure.
The vision was inconclusive, wasn't it?
If Easton Wood got a week for what he did, Dusty could get 6 weeks for that. Eastern Wood is one of the worst decisions in the history of the Nakatomi Corporation.
Third classifiable offence, which was...
But he didn't do anything.
No, he tickled him.
I think there was a fair bit of consternation about that within the...
Bulldogs camp?
No, within the...
MRP?
I think there was a fair bit of consternation about that. Let's do Be Kind Rewind.
Fair crack of the Savlon, Eddie Maguire, launching at the media for the hysteria over Nathan Buckley. Do I need to say any more?
I don't think
Sandy Roberts said as Gary Ablett kicked that goal, what did he say?
What more? Oh, my house.
Sorry, Sandy, I just forgot for a moment.
No.
I said on the weekend on radio, I was shocked that he was shocked, to be honest. Mm. Like he should defend his club and...
Yep.
Refute what was going on, what he thought the media... He didn't even know what half of those media reports he was referring to were.
Well, I think it started with Caro had written about Brad Scott for Collingwood, and then Robbo's got an interview with the president saying, well, that's not going to happen.
Legitimate news story.
Well, yeah.
Anyway.
Look, it is really fascinating as to what happens at the end of the year, isn't it? If Buckley goes and if he goes, from a coaching point of view.
Mm.
I know, Brennan Bolton was asked on the weekend about John Barker, and he found it pretty uncomfortable to talk about.
I think there's Johnny and many that could take the next step. It's more about the fit, though, isn't it? When people interview, it's about both parties being aligned. I think we think externally it's just about an opportunity arises, this person will just slot straight into it. But there's a lot of conversation both ways about that aligning for that football club or that person. The both things have got a mirror.
Have you had that chat with him?
I'd rather go off the topic now. Yeah, thanks.
So I think and you can understand Brennan Bolton not wanting to say too much because those guys are still in a...
You can talk about whether he's a good coach.
In their job.
Whether he's right for a club is getting into uncomfortable territory.
Yeah, I think the point Brennan talked about the coach being fit for the club as well as the club being fit for the coach. So in the Gold Coast case, say, if Rocket goes... You know, do they go for a John Barker type who hasn't got that experience? He's obviously been around for a long time and been at multiple clubs.
Mm.
Or do they, given that what's happened and they're basically trying to reinvent the club for a third time, do they need a coach who's coached before?
Best coach is the best coach. They need wins.
Mm.
I mean, culture as well is clearly...
Culture.
Has long been an issue at the Gold Coast.
You spoke about culture.
What is culture?
It's a Petri dish.
Not this again.
Well, I hope he likes Hobart, John Barker, because that's where the Suns are relocated.
All right. What about you? What's your Beacon Rewind?
Well, we touched on it before with Lewis Young, but Beacon Rewind, if you go back to the Dogs are targeting Jake Lever with a treasure chest full of cash. And if you go back to the Tom Boyd trade, if they actually didn't execute that trade, the Dogs had pick six, they would have taken either Jake Lever or Peter Wright. Probably Jake Lever. They might have got a couple of picks for Ryan Griffin as well. Tom Boyd obviously won them a premiership, but in a parallel universe, they would have drafted Lever, but they might not need him. Well, they might have the new Lever anyway, and Lewis Young, as we spoke about earlier.
You know what's intriguing, though, about that is that Jake Lever was at the centre of that whole Adelaide Western Bulldogs scandal around that final at the MCG, where his name was actually in that report where he was... It was said that he'd helped, or he had verified some of that information. So it's interesting that the Bulldogs are the suitors, yeah.
What a, that's interesting revelation to Mick from...
Anyway.
Them and Melbourne, I think. Melbourne wanted to draft him at pick three. They just went for Angus Brasher. I think they're going to come out again as well.
Mm. Yeah, it does feel like he's going to go, though, doesn't it?
It's going to cost a lot.
Well, he said he'll do it straight after the CBA was done. And I think Adelaide's got an offer on the table.
Yeah, around about 600, that's what I'd heard.
So 600?
Yep.
Well, he's worth more than that.
He's going to get a lot more if he goes. The offer's on the table. 600. The longer it goes without a bit of ink, the more you think he's probably going to come
home. They lose some players, Adelaide.
They have lost some, haven't they, over the years.
But they can recruit them as well.
Who's their
recruiter?
Hamish Ogilvie. Their striker with late picks is extraordinary, especially with they had the sanctions over Kurt Tippett. They've just reloaded every time.
Yep. I thought you were going to do your beacon on selling games. Your double beacon rumour.
Oh, yeah.
I was.
Comes home to haunt you, though, doesn't it, when you Melbourne sell that game? Sorry, Sam.
Sorry, I
that's right, you can do a double.
Yeah, we'll go
no
twice.
Rules here.
Didn't get with this at Lauren, did you?
Oh, no.
Selling games.
You sledged Lauren for the second week in a row.
Just to check she's listening. Yeah. I look forward to
she
a
picked
text.
Another eight on
six
the
games to go. There's a bottleneck to play finals. Melbourne's just moved a game to Darwin and lost to Adelaide. The Dogs have two to come. Cairns this week against Gold Coast. And then, I think, round 22 against Port Adelaide in Ballarat.
Ballarat's a bit close at home.
Well, it's not Etihad, though, where they play their best footy.
Probably just as cold.
What's colder?
Jeez, you'd hate to... I mean, clearly you make a whole stack of money by playing finals, and the deeper you go, you earn more and more. You'd hate for selling games to compromise your chances of playing in September. We've just seen Melbourne and Darwin. The Dogs have two of their last six outside of home. You hope he doesn't come back to bite them.
Well, Richmond got out of Cairns for that reason.
They didn't. Yeah, Carmichael Hunt enjoyed. Yeah. Was the only one that enjoyed. The
but there is a nice $500,000-$600,000 a game, which
it
helps.
Can hurt you for two games, though, can't it? But if you play up north, because it's the travel and all that's associated with. Yeah.
And Adelaide as well is roped into that. Adelaide's got to play on a Friday night, 6-day break from Darwin. Not ideal from a high performance.
Melbourne would have lost either if it had been played.
You would think so with all the players that they had out. Yeah. And their record, they haven't won at Gosh's Paddock in quite a while. my beacon rewind does relate to the D's, and that's Bernie Vince. We haven't seen the MRP's results, but given what's been going on with their senior players, what was he thinking?
Weekend off at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's. Gary Lyon said this morning that even if he doesn't go, they should drop him. I mean,
drop him.
Clearly breaking club rules. They've said don't do it, and there were two incidents, weren't there?
There was. Yep.
So. Yeah.
One to Eddie Betts and one to Richard Douglas. So.
Another week, another ill discipline at the Demons.
Yeah, yes. All right. We must mention, before we talk about the games ahead, and we haven't talked about the Bombers either, which we need to, apart from that mark off the top, which Mick didn't really rate.
No, I rated it, but it wasn't.
He compared some of the grabs that he's,
house,
he
which
took.
Which is all time.
How's your vertical eight, Mick?
Not good.
We need to mention that the Footy Fan Survey is out, the Herald Sun Footy Fan Survey. Which I think you go online to get all the details of.
Yep.
Of course.
A whole lot of questions. Who is
Lots
the
of
AFL's
questions.
Toughest player?
It's live at heraldsun.com.au.
That's easy, isn't it? Toughest player. Joel Selwood.
Yeah, I'll
Patrick Dangerfield.
Callum.
Kane Corns has voted for Joel Selwood, not for Patrick Dangerfield.
Jack Viney's not a bad one, though.
Viney and Callum Ward, I think, are right.
Oh, Ward,
there.
Yeah. I like him, but Selwood, clearly.
Do you support a rework fixture featuring changes such as wild cards and conferences?
Yeah, I do.
Yes, but not wild cards or conferences. Just play everyone once and let's get on with the finals.
That is the best scenario, but not realistic, unfortunately.
Right. Did you see Paddy Dangerfield's...
In Prendergast, they could fix that.
I mean...
did you see if Patrick Dangerfield takes over as all the things that he would do on the weekend? It's some crazy ones in there.
Sunday Herald Sun, good read.
Yeah, I like
crazy
that.
Ones in there. He wants to out the nine-pointer
and
come
a,
in.
And a judiciary for media.
Yes.
Yeah. And your Gold Coast staying there because the Crows are off to Tassie.
Yeah, that
was crazy.
I tell you what, we do need character. To mention while we're talking about nine-pointers, how good was the Torp on the weekend?
Jaden Hunt.
Jaden Hunt.
Bring back the Torp.
That was
and sign a new deal straight after he did it. And this one, Hutto, you can't read this out. Who is the best TV commentator?
I can read it out. The best tactical analyst on TV, but I think there's also the best caller as well.
Best
so.
Caller.
Get in there and vote, Mick.
Yeah. Best analyst. Let's have a look.
Who would you go with?
I go with either Jared Healy, Jason Dunstall, David King, or Jonathan Brown.
I've really enjoyed.
You really narrowed it down there.
Fox Footy friends on a Monday night. Daisy Pierce has been a nice addition this year.
Very good. They don't call them boundary riders in telly, though. It's a field commentator.
Field commentator.
But, so, they don't want to stoop to the boundary riding level. But
of the four you sucked up to that you work with on the couch, Mick, who would you say is the best out of those?
Oh, it's between King, Healy, Dunstall and Brown.
Vote now at heraldsun.com.au. Let's talk quickly the other couple of games that we haven't really... We've touched on the Dogs. Do we think the Dogs can... In this crazy season, or would I still don't think they can get it together.
Yeah, you wouldn't rule them out till they can't play finals. But again, yesterday was a pretty scrappy game. Glimpses, but nothing to really write home about.
Yeah.
What about the Bombos?
Don't know.
Their best is very good.
Frightening.
They've been playing at this level for a long time. They should have beaten Sydney, and they should have beaten Brisbane.
Oh, the Brisbane one will really come back to haunt them.
The word from our champion data friends is that they've changed their game plan again, and it's now sustainable.
Oh, right.
They used to be generating less scores than the defence. It's now from the forward half, which is what you want to be doing.
So I think they'll make the eight. But who comes out?
They've got a pretty good draw, haven't they,
from here? Yeah, they do.
I still think West Coast might be a bit vulnerable.
Ooh, and the Ds?
They're very vulnerable, the West Coast Eagles. That performance was very unconvincing on the weekend. But the good thing is for them that they got Kennedy back. Darling, still, even though he didn't get a huge amount of the ball, is marking the ball so much better. He's got much more confidence. So on any given day, they are still a very dangerous proposition.
They won't get Nick Knapp back either, I don't think.
Doesn't seem that way, but I guess probably depends on where they're going to finish as to whether they would take that risk if they, you know, on the theory that, you know, if you finish in the eight, you're a chance. Well, they might think about it. Righto, what about the games coming up? As Mick's calling it, moving day, round 18. Crows and Cats, no Sloane, possibly no Dangerfield.
Well, no danger for me. Mick says Patrick's a certainty. I'll go the Crows.
Crows, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're,
it's at home.
Their record against the Cats is poor. Yes, so to me, it's the fascinating thing is can Geelong beat them the same way as they have the last three times?
All under Don Pike.
Yep, all under Don Pike. Dons and Ruse should be the Dons. Yeah,
Dons.
Poor old North, they're just struggling a bit, aren't they? But a number one pick, every cloud has a silver lining.
Well, and he's... Dustin Martin.
Cameron Rayner.
Dustin Martin blueprint.
Plus Josh Kelly.
Oh, we can't get both. We discussed this last week.
Oh, you can't
if you try.
No.
Could get Dusty and Little Dusty.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Two Dusties. That'd be all right.
Yeah. Dusty. Let's go the D's and Port.
Port.
D's.
D's.
Bungie would be far more confident at Etihad. I think the D's are a four-goal better team at Etihad than the G.
Who would have thought you'd say Melbourne are good at Etihad after they lost 26 in a row?
Port had an ordinary performance there last time,
absolutely.
Didn't they?
Absolutely, yep.
Dogs and Suns.
In Cairns, you think the Dogs.
Yeah, Dogs.
Swans and Saints.
Swans.
I reckon the Swans will have another. They'll have another bad one somewhere along the line soon, just because that's what the sort of season is throwing up at the moment. Freo and Hawks.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I think Hawthorn are playing really good footy.
Yeah. Okay. Hawks.
Hey, I'm going to go for Freo there. Tigers and Giants.
Wow, this is it for the Tigers. This is the one where they can guarantee themselves a spot in September, and I'm going to go for the Giants. No, it's a massive game. It's the biggest game of the year for Richmond.
Okay. Pies and Eagles.
That's a massive game. So the Pies can really shape the eight by knocking off the Eagles and Bucks can hold on for a week longer. I think the Pies.
Okay. I'll go the Eagles.
Daniel Wells plays, they win just about. That's what the numbers say, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty good record with him, is it? What is
only that? Lost one, I think. And then when he hasn't played, they've pretty much only won one or two.
Extraordinary.
So, yeah, amazing. And the Lions and the Blues.
Oh, set the alarm. Are you calling that game, Hutto?
Favola Cup.
That's a very good question. I don't know. Actually, I don't think I am. What's the 110 game? Tigers and Giants. I think I'm doing that one.
Mm. Good result for
that's
you.
A good result.
The Lions.
Suffer, Dwayne.
Lions as well.
All right. Where are Carlton on the ladder right now? They're 16th, so it's not 17th and 18th, which is because we always call that a cup of some kind,
it's
don't we?
Sort of a cup.
Cameron Rayner Cup. Yeah. Nah. The little dusty cup, I like that.
The little dusty cup. Yeah, that, when the North play Brisbane again before the end of the year?
Don't know the answer.
Shouldn't ask
to that,
a question but... at the end of a podcast. We don't know the answer, should we? We'll find out by next week. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget to vote on the Herald Sun Footy Fans survey. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes and leave a review about just how much you love us. For all your other AFL news, don't forget to follow @SuperFooty on Twitter. Use the hashtag SFPod to get involved with comments or questions ahead of the next episode. We'll be back after another huge round of footy. Will Lauren be back next week or not?
We hope so.
Yeah, we certainly do.
I think she's got another week, actually. It's a long Seminyak for 3 weeks. Half your luck.
See if I hop in place for week 3. Yeah, might be Sam Evan or something.
Lots of questions to be asked at selection this week. We'll see you next week, everyone.